Today's text comes from James 5, verse 16. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We like to ignore this particular passage because we don't want other people to know about the bad stuff we've done. But isn't it funny how supremely interested we are in what bad stuff other people have done? So here comes James saying, confess your sins to each other. Six simple words, but when applied, it is harder to do than filling up a soccer ball by sticking your mouth on the valve and blowing as hard as you can. Confessing our sins to others is messy. It's risky. Taking this passage to heart may let too many cats out of the bags, and we all know that once a cat is let out of the bag, it's not going back in. Nobody wants to confess their sins because in so doing, you have to admit you were wrong. If you're someone who struggles to admit that you're wrong, welcome to the club. I'll save you a seat next to me. But if we understood how powerful confession is, we'd be out there doing it. Confession is where we find healing from the impact of sin. When we engage in confession, some of our bad habits are corrected. When we engage in confession, our consciences are purified. When we engage in confession, we have our will strengthened, self-control is heightened, and we fall into sin less. And probably more importantly, we become more like Christ in holiness. Confession is the place where the grip of addiction begins to loosen its grip on us. James says, confession ultimately has the power to heal. In September of 2021, a high school student by the name of Lauren Licardi and her boyfriend Owen began receiving obscene text messages from an unknown number. The anonymous text got darker, super pornographic, and menacing, according to a new Netflix documentary called The Unknown Number. When the parents brought this to the school eventually could not solve it, so they brought in local law enforcement, and they couldn't solve it, so they brought in the FBI. Several classmates looked really suspicious, and they were questioned regarding the cyberbullying, but they were eventually cleared. This went on for 2 years, and it remained a mystery as to who was behind these vicious texts, most of which included profanity, perverted suggestions, comments that Lauren was ugly, and that she should just go ahead and kill herself. When the sender's identity was finally uncovered, it was a shock to everyone in the little community where they came from, because the cyberbully turned out to be Lauren's mom, Kendra Licardi. She had a history of working in the tech industry, so she had enough knowledge to hide her crimes on the internet. But as Adam and Eve soon found out, you can't hide forever. When the police and the FBI got a warrant to search Kendra's house and phones, Kendra realized she'd been caught, so she made a full confession of her crimes. She was sentenced on two counts of stalking a minor and served a year and a half in prison. After Kendra's confession, Lauren's boyfriend Owen expressed relief and said at least this had ended and the healing could begin. Confession has been long recognized as a powerful tool for healing, yet it never ceases to amaze me that some refuse to do it. I've been involved in situations where people have refused to admit wrongdoing, where they have refused to confess that what they've done was sinful. Had an admission or a confession been made, even a small one, things would have ended much differently. If the first man, Adam, had confessed after he and Eve ate from the tree of good and the forbidden tree, I do believe things would have ended differently for them too. I believe a confession from Adam would have changed the world. However, Adam did not confess his sin, but instead hid from God. We read in Genesis 3:8, and Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. There are several ways a confession from Adam would have changed the world, But I don't have time for them all, so I'm just going to give you three. The first of which is the punishment for eating from the forbidden tree included arduous work and painful childbirth. Confessing may have led to a more merciful outcome. I think there's biblical precedent for that. When God sent the prophet Jonah to warn the people of Nineveh to stop their terrible sinning, they confessed and repented. Seeing their confession was genuine, God relented and did not bring about the destruction he had planned. You can read that in Jonah chapter 3. The second one is, if Adam had confessed, his relationship with God would not have been severed. Several Bible characters experienced restoration of their relationship with God after confessing their sins. Men like Peter, Paul, Moses, King David. And the third one is, by taking full responsibility, instead of blaming Eve, Adam could have changed the dynamic of gender roles in human history. From the time of their sin, male and female relationships in general have been tough to navigate. Confessing could have fostered a more honest and trusting relationship between Adam and Eve, setting a positive example for future generations as to how to handle conflicts and mistakes in their relationships. To sum up, Adam's confession could have altered human history in profound ways. Instead, not only did we inherit the tendency to sin, but we also inherited the tendency to hide our sin. The bad news is, Adam can't go back and confess. The good news is, we can. As long as we have breath in our bodies, we can live a life of confession and the healing that comes from confession. Proverbs 28:13, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." Notice that James didn't say that confession will make us feel better. It might, or it might not. Sometimes, frankly, it makes us feel worse. And sometimes it hurts somebody else. Sometimes it makes you feel better and somebody else feel worse. Back to the case of the felonious cyberbully, Kendra Licari. She didn't feel any better after the confession, and neither did anybody else. I would go so far as to say almost everybody felt worse. Even though this was a forced confession, if there had been no confession of the crime, there would have been no healing for the victims, not even for Kendra herself, if she would choose to have healing come into her life. When David was talking about his unconfessed sin, he said in Psalm 32:3-4, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." Our sins thrive in secret darkness like mold in a petri dish. When we keep our sins hidden, their power over us grows, even though we are doing the best we can to overcome them. Hidden sin is a stronghold of Satan in our lives. He uses our failures, and especially our repeated failures, to cripple us. Confession helps break the stronghold that the devil has over us. Confession shines truth on our brokenness and invites others to come in and help us. People really do want to help us. There's something healing about taking off our masks, sharing our struggles, and finding ourselves accepted by others. The fear of being fully known denies us the very relationships that our hearts are longing for. Notice that I did not say that our bad deeds are supposed to be condoned by others, but rather we are to be accepted and supported as we struggle to become better Christians. When we begin to confess our sins, we quickly discover that we are not alone. Our personal struggles are more common than unique. Then there's the little matter of how many people around us already know what our weaknesses are, and they still love us. Imagine how much deeper they will love us when we admit to the obvious. People respect honesty a whole lot more than those weird illusions we try to put out there that we're about a week from being perfect. People are hungering to confess their sins, to get those heavy weights off their chests. In fact, this desire is so great that there are a growing number of websites on the internet that are geared exclusively toward confession. Several churches have created online confession sites. These sites have a lot of appeal because people find that they're not alone. None of these sites claim to replace the act of confession to God, but they do offer something we all need. We all need a place and a person to confide in and confess our sins to. When people and we ourselves come to church, we cover up all of our failures, hurts, and sins, our disappointments and our doubts. We leave all of our pain at the door. When someone asks us how we are, we smile and we show all of our teeth and we say, "Great," even though we aren't great at all. Ironically, the church is often the last place in the world where we dare reveal the truth about ourselves, and that is a great tragedy. The great Quaker Richard Foster said, "We have come to feel that everyone else has advanced so far into holiness that we are isolated and alone in our sin, and so we can't bear to reveal our failures and shortcomings to others." We imagine that we're the only ones that haven't gotten twisted up in a sin, so we hide the truth, letting it wound our souls, letting it hold us back, letting it keep us trapped in addictions and sins and depression, sleepless nights. But all of that is not necessary. God has given us a way to find solace. Confess one to each other. Now, God hasn't done this for his own entertainment. He's not sitting up in heaven saying to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, "Hey guys, watch what I've got these goofy humans doing this time. I've got them making monkeys out of themselves, spilling their guts to each other." No, nothing is further from the truth. God has asked us to confess our sins to each other for our own good. Confession helps us to experience God's forgiveness in a deeper way. It's really good to know from Scripture that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But sometimes it really makes a difference when we hear a human voice saying to us, "God will and has forgiven you." This does not mean that we hang out all of our dirty laundry for everyone to see, especially if it involves others. Some things are just not meant to be shared with everybody. We need to be careful about confessing intimate matters. Some people are frankly untrustworthy. Others are simply not up to the task of being a confessor. James has in mind that sin is to be confessed to two or three trustworthy, mature believers and not to the town blabbermouth. Confession must start and end with God. He is the one who can truly forgive us because, honestly, sometimes people won't forgive us. Psalm 32:5 said, "Then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." However, when we limit confession as just a private matter between us and God, when we make it a matter of high security and keep it under the table, it's far too easy to be insincere. Anyone can utter a confessional quickie, "Sorry about all my sins today, God, amen," and then go on like nothing happened. No, our confessions need to be sincere. They need to be detailed. And we need to sit in the presence of the Lord in quiet and let him speak to us about our sins and about the fact that he has forgiven us. One theologian said, "Sin is only removed when sin is fully confessed." When we name a sin in the presence of Christ and other Christians, it loses its power. Shackles on our souls are loosened. We are set free from its tyranny. All of us have heard some form of the Scottish maxim which goes, "Confession is good for the soul." When it is said this way, it's missing an important word. It's open. The original version of the saying is, "Open confession is good for the soul." This means let it all out. Tell everything. Psychology tells us that open confession is indeed good for the soul, literally. It takes years off. It removes that crushing weight of guilt. It removes the principal source of angst in the human spirit, which is guilt. Psychologists tell us that the feelings of guilt are at the root of most of our inner unrest. Confession is truly a gift from God. As we confess our sins to God first and then to others, we can attain the peace of mind and heart that God has intended for us. It is no mystery that confession has curative properties. What do you think recovery groups are all about? Divorce recovery, AA. These groups are all about confession, accountability, and encouragement. Confession and accountability isn't just for those guys. I've got news for you. Confession and accountability is for me, and it's for you. We all need it. James links confession with prayer. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The healing James is speaking about is spiritual. It's an inner healing. James' word for healing is the same one used by Isaiah when he said, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Confession that brings about that kind of healing is done in conjunction with prayer. Confession without prayer is just flapping your lips. It's blowing the breeze and chatting each other up. Serious people who seriously wish to confess their sins do it under the umbrella of prayer. It is then that true inner healing can occur. The power of unified prayer is a change agent. True confession is not just a statement that we've done wrong. Even a thief will admit that he's done wrong. Even Kendra admitted she did wrong. True confession means agreeing with God how our sins have offended him, agreeing with him about how they've hurt ourselves and others. True confession is a repentance of our evil ways and changing those ways and going on to live in the right way. This is a confession that leads to restoration and redemption. The Holy Bible says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." Sometimes I will read through this book called the Book of Common Prayer. Now, I realize that we are a low liturgy church, but if you're in a higher or a middle liturgy church, you would know what I meant by the Book of Common Prayer. It's this little black book, has a little gold cross on it, and it has all kinds of biblical collects, prayers in it, and sometimes I read through it when I'm feeling kind of dry, and it has a lot of great things in it. And in it contains this prayer of confession. And this morning, I'm going to have Elena put it up on the screen, and we are going to pray this prayer of confession together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.